The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marx. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kathy Kayla. I do confess to having sung backup vocals to Jackson Browne, really praying that I wasn't going to be caught in a hot mark situation. And I do have some breaking news that has just come in, and it is breaking news of the good kind.
Okay, so before we get to the hot mark situation, in which you wouldn't have been alone, let's get to the breaking news.
Okay, drum roll, please, because this is quite cool breaking news.
All right, we're just looking for that. You know, we've got to get the drummer in. He's a little slow. All right, here we go. He's sitting down. Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you, Gerald. This just in, FIFA says Israelis and Palestinians will fly together to the FIFA World Cup, which takes place in Qatar later this month. Direct charter flights will be temporarily operated between Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv and Hamad International Airport in Doha.
I think that is absolutely brilliant.
An airline with existing landing rights in Qatar. So you heard it there first. Let us just reiterate that you do hear breaking news on Chai FM, because that's what we're here for. And this is good news indeed.
Rolene, that is absolutely brilliant.
I mean, it's brilliant, and it says, you know, these things are possible.
I think it's absolutely amazing. You know, a great way to ensure the safety of Palestinians is to put Israelis with them on the plane, and the way to ensure the safety of Israelis is to put Palestinians on the plane and send them all together, and everybody will get there safely and return safely. Is that just my inner cynic?
I'm not going to say two birds, one stone, because we're not
This is a positive story for sure.
But we're going to just enjoy the moment and two birds, one aeroplane. I'm going to go with that excuse.
How long is the flight from Israel to Qatar?
I actually have no idea. I think it would probably be about 3 or 4 hours. It's not too far from the Gulf States, and that's about 3 hours. So I would reckon about 3 or 4 hours.
That's amazing. You can make a friend in that time. I think that's
exactly.
Awesome. All right, let's talk about hot mics.
What? Well, as you know, those of us who work in radio are very conscious of a hot mic situation. And one has to wonder whether or not the president, that is Isaac Herzog, knew that his mic was hot yesterday when he was speaking to members of what will be our potential coalition government. And he said that there are members of the coalition that are creating or causing a lot of anxiety for people around the world. Now, of course, it's estimated that he was speaking directly or referring directly to Itamar Ben-Gvir, kind of putting him on notice that, you know what, you just have to be very cognizant of your words, of your actions, and also of your demands, because it's not just a situation where Israelis are very concerned and very worried about a coalition government with a far-right element, but the world is as well, and your actions could have repercussions on Israel.
Interesting. And all right, let's talk about the Defense Minister Gantz. He addressed reporters yesterday, and one of the inevitable questions was Israel's stance on Ukraine. And so what did the Defense Minister say?
Well, as you know, Ukraine keep trying to pressure Israel to supply air defense systems. And Israel to date, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, has tried to take as much of a, I won't say neutral stance as possible, because there have been exchanges of words, some harsh exchanges of words between Israel and Russia, and some harsh condemnation of Russian actions in Ukraine by various Israeli leaders. But the defense minister, going on the record with reporters yesterday, said, you know, even if we could, even if we had to decide tomorrow that we are going to supply air defense systems to Ukraine, we just don't have the production capabilities. We cannot give all our air defense systems over to Ukraine. You know, that puts Israel in a very, very vulnerable position. decision. And I'm going to quote you directly from Defence Minister Gates. He said, it is clear that even if it is decided that we change our policy, it is impossible to empty our supply of air defence systems. We are checking every day what can be done and how we can expand our aid. But we must not forget that NATO stands behind Ukraine. So he's very careful to explain why Israel is or has taken the position that we have taken, and that, you know, it's really not the sole, or Israel shouldn't be the sole provider of aid to Ukraine. We understand, I mean, we're a country that has dealt with its fair shares of wartime scenarios. We empathize, and we certainly are sending as much humanitarian aid as possible, but we cannot send our air defense systems.
Rolene, can you just remind me, what is Israel's relationship like with Ukraine prior to the Russian invasion?
Well, that's a good question. Israel has very good relations with both Russia and Ukraine. I know that there have been some concerns that Ukraine hasn't stood with Israel at the United Nations, but certainly under the Zelensky administration and the previous administration, we have had very, very strong bilateral ties with Ukraine. We consider ourselves allies. We are also cognizant of the massive Jewish community in Ukraine, as well as the massive Jewish community in Russia. This is one of the reasons why Israel has taken such a, at least attempted to take a balanced start. We also can't forget that when it comes to Russia, the presence of Russian military in Syria, when Israel acts against a terror entities in Syria, we have to tell the Russians that we are going to embark on airstrikes to warn their officials. There have been harsh exchanges of words over Israel striking Iranian targets in Syria. But Israel has strong relations with Ukraine, and it's just baffling why we've had harsh rebukes coming from their ambassador in Israel, when he should understand that we are trying as much as possible to be as balanced as possible.
Interesting. All right. Well, I guess time will tell. Time will tell. Let's move on to the last story, because I don't want to run out of time with you, Rolene. The U.S. Ambassador Knight has said that the U.S. will push back against any annexation attempts. Can you firstly translate this for me into a language that the five-year-old in my head will understand? And then we can talk about what has prompted the statement.
Well, this would mean Israel taking or annexing any territories, bearing in mind the territories in the West Bank. I know the listeners, you know, don't like to hear this, is still disputed. Hence, we have this ongoing conflict. I know that there will be arguments, but it's our land. But the way that it sits at the moment is it is disputed territory. Now, the U.S. ambassador was responding yet again to demands coming from the Otzma Yehudi Party. This is the National Religious Party. This time it's not Ben-Gavir, it's a little Smotrich, demanding that Israeli settlements in parts of the West Bank be governed by Israeli ministries here in Israel rather than the IDF's civil administration, which is seen as a de facto annexation. And the U.S. ambassador saying, if you do that, we're going to fight back against that kind of action, and not just us, but many countries will as well. So, you know, it brings us full circle, Kathy, back to President Herzog and the hot mic situation, where he said, you know, you are creating some anxiety in Israel and around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, tell me something, you and I haven't really spoken about this, but does the election result surprise you, Rolene?
I think what was the real surprise, and that's an excellent question, the real surprise has been the strong showing of Otzma Yehudi. They have doubled their size, doubled their representation in the Knesset. They now have 14 seats in the Knesset. And I'm going to be honest, it's a great concern for many of us here in Israel that You know, we understand whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, Netanyahu's victory, but the there is huge concern about Otzma Yehudi.
Yeah, you know, when the rest of the world looks at it and say, well, you know, Israel is moving to a more conservative government, and the truth is that just like South Africans, we don't make our votes, we don't cast our votes according to South Africa's foreign policy. We cast our votes depending on what's happening here. Is our rubbish going to be dealt with and collected on time? And what are the laws and what are the taxes? Those are the issues that we vote on. And it's the same with Israelis. I mean, how much of the vote do you think has got to do with foreign policy in Israel, Rodin? Just very quickly, because we've got to go to news.
Very, very little. It's domestic, and because it's more domestic, it has signaled to Israelis we have some very, very, very serious conversations we need to have with each other here in Israel.
Yeah. Thank you, Rolene Marks. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
Shabbat Shalom.
We'll catch you tomorrow morning with Howard Feldman on the Morning Mayhem.
Have a good one.
Thank you. God bless. That's Rolene Marks. She's our Israel correspondent.